The song for the invitation will be number 730. 730. Please mark your books.
Mansions robed a crown, there
good morning to everyone. Thank God that He is allowing us to receive a mansion, a robe, and a crown. You were sounding like you kind of meant it this morning, church. And I'll tell you right now, you have to put your reservation in while you're here. You cannot get a reservation after you're gone off of this earth. So put in your reservation, do your work, and reap your reward. So let the church say amen on that. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Let us remember that, and let us think and take a moment, I should say, and go to God in prayer right now. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You that You blessed me to get up this morning. You blessed each and every one here in this audience to get up this morning. Father, we know that time changed this morning, and some of us had a little bit of an issue getting up and getting the church on time, but You got us here, O Lord. And I thank You, Father. I thank You, Lord, that we have the church to come to because Your Son died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity to the tree of life. Thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those that are here, and I pray for those that may be on their way that they may get here safely and securely. I pray this morning and ask You, Father, to remember the sick and the shut-in, to reach down Your arm from heaven and touch them with Your healing finger. Thank You, Lord. Thank You this morning for the leaders of this congregation. Thank You for their families. And I pray for strength for them that they may continue to carry on. Then, my Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every member in the congregation that they may continue to reap the benefits of what You have given, the blessings that You give us on a daily basis. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. Pray for them and their families also that they may continue to be strengthened and that they may do the will of the Lord. Father, we ask You to be with this world in which we live that we may find peace and harmony with one another. Because without love, we can never see Your face in peace, O Lord. Because we have been told in the new commandment that we are to love one another as You have loved us. Thanking You this morning, O Heavenly Father, that Your will may be done by each and every one of us. Father, we thank You that for those families who are raising children, and we pray for strength for the mothers and the fathers everywhere, and especially for the grandparents, O Lord, who are many have their hands full with their young grandchildren today, O Lord. Father, I pray and thank You this morning for those who may be traveling that they may have safe passage to and from their destination and may be able to get back with us by the next appointed time. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us. And it is in the name of the One who went upon Calvary's cross that we continue to ask blessings of You, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, let us say amen. This morning, let me just say this off the top right now. Somebody was talking this morning in the Bible class about Jesus being the mediator and our advocate. I'd rather go to God through Jesus than to try to approach God on my own. Without Jesus mediating for us, who knows where God would have us today? So let us remember to thank God for everything that He does for us. Thank God for all that He has been for us, and thank God for all that He shall continue to do for us. This morning from the scripture of Acts chapter 15 in the verses of 36 through 41, we're going to look at a subject called When God's Servants Disagree. Believe it or not, Sometimes church folk have disagreements. This may come as a surprise to some, but it's the truth. In our text for today, we find such an example. It was Paul and Barnabas, both were servants of God, but they had a disagreement. Church folk today still have differences, but there is no need for us to turn to strife and bitterness. God's Word should always be the referee when there are disagreements. Talk as we will, but we must always give in to the Word and the will of God. If I say push, and the other person says pull, but the Bible says stand still, we ought to call a truce and just stand there. We need to reach out and hear God's Word as He speaks to us, as He speaks to us through His Word. For God is never ever wrong. We may be always right, but we're not as right as God. So let us try to come together and be at peace one with another. Paul and Barnabas left each other, neither one giving in to the other, according to the scripture and the text that we have for today. If we are going to be servants, let us serve as the Lord wants us to do. So look at the text, if you will, in Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. Read the first one and it says, look at the first one and it says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So they were considering going to the other church, some other churches, to see what the seed that they planted, to see how it was going. So let us look at the issue of the matter. Both were servants of God and both were in agreement on doing God's work. But in the course of doing the work of the church, we sometimes have mindsets that differ. And there's nothing wrong with having a difference. It's what you do with that difference that makes the difference. The one thing that we must learn is that large egos of some can get in the way and hinder the church from going forward in peace. So in this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, it soon turned to strife, or today we would probably call it pressure or stress. The matter was simple. In verse number 37, look at the matter in verse number 37. "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him on this journey. While in verse number 38, Paul didn't want to take him because he had deserted them before and he didn't feel that he didn't consider that he would consider a quitter going with them. God knew Mark's heart better than Paul or both Paul and Barnabas. So let God fix that and not let us worry about it. The church must be careful that we don't allow small issues to cause strife between the members. Remember in Genesis chapter 13, around about verse number 7, where Abram's herdmen were in contention with Lot's herdsmen? And what did Abram say? Well, he called for the herdmen, he called for a meeting with Lot. He called for a settlement, if you will. He went to Lot in verse number 8 of chapter 13 of Genesis. And he said, "Let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee. For we are brethren." Church, we are brethren and sisters in the church. And there's no need for anybody to be stressed out or cause strife among the church. The church folk must learn to get along. How are we going to reach out if we can't get along while we're already in? So I ask you this morning, church, there were two keys to Abram's point. Number one, it was a peaceful appeal. So let's appeal to one another in peace. And it was a compromising attitude. He said, "Let us get together and let us talk about this so that we'll have no problem between us. And let us get along in the church house, no matter what the issue is that's at stake." As brethren, we probably have worked together on many of us. We've laughed together and sometimes we have probably even cried together. So why do we let trivial matters hamper our services to God? I asked the question this morning. Would you be too stressed out if somebody came to you and presented you an idea that you don't think is a good idea, but yet you think that it might work, but deep down inside of you, you say to yourself, it wasn't my idea, so I don't think it'll work. Therefore, when matters come up between church folk, somebody has to know when to let it go. Both Paul and Barnabas had faults in their disagreement. Look at verse number 39, if you will. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from him in Pamphylia, and went not with them to work. And then in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed and to Cyprus. Now perhaps Barnabas chose Mark to go because this was his kinfolk. This was his kinfolk. So he probably said to himself, I want my nephew to be along with me. I want to take my home folk with me. But I don't know if that's what, because the Bible didn't say that. I'm just assuming that he wanted to take him because it was his kinfolk. But perhaps when you look at it, maybe if it was Mark and Paul, maybe he would have done the same thing and wanted Barnabas to go along, even though Paul didn't. So all I'm saying is that if the contention and strife comes up, if contentions come up, we must not let it turn to strife among the brethren. We must never let the church be in contention between several brothers, or sometimes it develops and it'll take this side on one side and this side on the other side. We can't have that. We've got to learn to get along. We've got to learn to love one another, because that's what Jesus told us to do. We've got to love one another. And when we love one another, we learn to encourage one another. When we do these things, maybe I won't get so mad at you and you won't get so mad at me. We've got to be willing to give in to one another. We've got to understand that when God speaks, we must learn to listen. So in verse number 38 once again, but Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. God takes care of us, but we must learn to do the right thing in order that we gain His blessings unto us. So that was the issue that was at stake. But we must learn to work together. When people, especially Christian people, when we get upset with one another, there is an always room to improve. When one doesn't think the other is right, we have to ask ourselves the question, what did I fail to see in my brother's point of view? What did I fail to see in his logic and his mind? What did I fail to see that I'm only seeing in my own answers? So in verse number 39, look what happened there. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them in Pamphylia, and went not to them to work. And verse 39, that's verse 38. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now here we are. It became so heated and the debate turned to strife. And once they left the other. And now in this Bible text, it doesn't say that they made up before they left. So they apparently departed mad at each other. So you got to remember that you can't be mad at your brethren. They departed from one another, not examining each other. But most importantly of all, they forgot Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, where the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, you've got to let God know. Now, somebody asked the question this morning. God already knows, but He likes to hear it from us. He likes to know that you're thinking of Him and you got Him in the picture. That verse works for church folk. That verse works for married folk. That verse works for single folk. And even those folk who are always right when the difficulties of life get in our way. Even though we may not feel that I need the Lord on this matter, the matter that's at hand right now, I don't count out the Lord. For the Bible says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. If it's on your mind, you need to take it to God. If it's on your mind, you need to ask God about it. You need to ask God through prayer. And prayer is the key where we let God know of our life's wants and our life's needs and our life's desire. Not because He doesn't already know, but because He wants to hear it from us. These two who had allowed a simple disagreement to turn into strife, anger, and they chose not to allow God to work in them. When we have problems that lead to disagreements, we need to remember Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26, where the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You've got to learn to accept the fact that somebody has to be bigger than somebody else, and somebody has to come to the other one. Somebody has to say, maybe I was wrong, and just maybe I didn't see it the way you saw it. But I'm looking at it with a different eye now, and I want to know if we can come together again. But these two left each other. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one to the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And you've got to know, church, that when we are working in the church, everybody is not going to agree with you all the time. Everybody is not going to agree with me all the time. Everybody is not going to agree with me a lot of the time. So I've got to be willing to compromise. God knows that there are some who may because of anger, become ugly and just act silly, if you will. We must not let our sun go down on our wrath. We must not let our anger turn to wrath. When church folk cause us anger, we are not to let it lead us, according to Ephesians 4 and 27. It neither give place to the devil. You've got to, you know, when you get mad at somebody, you don't know what you'll do, really. You know, I've heard church folk cussing like sailors. But they're church folk. But they say that I'm a good Christian. But I had to cuss him out. I'm a good Christian. But he didn't try to see my point of view, so I cussed him out. But I tell you, church, you're not always right. So you've got to be very careful, because that anger will give place to the devil. And that's what I'm talking about. When that anger turns to hostility, then the other person may also turn to hostility. And then you'll be just like Paul and Barnabas. And they departed, each in his own way. But I love the words of God. I love the words in the Word of God. Because Paul later on acknowledged both Barnabas in Colossians chapter 4 around verse 11 and Mark in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. He gave them kind recommendations. Just goes to show us that right can still be wrong, and any of us can still be wrong, even though once again we are always right. So when you think about it, church, if I came in here and I was wearing two different shoes, you would say, well, he's lost it finally. But see, I'd be thinking I'm right, because when you say something to me about it, I just tell you I got another pair like these at home. And you'll say to yourself, well, he thinks he's right all the time. So I'm going to get mad at him. And I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to call him. I'm not going to say anything at all to him. And I'm going to drive a wedge between he and I. But you know what? That's when you're letting the devil get in. That's when you're letting Satan into the whole mix. We've got to learn to be in love with not to love one another and to be cautious of one another's feelings. We've got to learn to love one another and encourage one another. Oh, I can say something nice to you every so often. It wouldn't kill me. I can say you look nice today. That's not hurting anything. I can say, you know, last week when you asked that question in Bible class, I had the answer on the tip of my tongue, but I didn't say anything. But I'm gonna give you the answer right now. And you can agree with me or not, but here is the answer. Now, I've taken a hostile attitude already. You can agree with me or not. See, I'm telling you, I'm going to be right. I'm going to be right whether you agree with me or not. We've got to learn that working together is the key. When church folk have disagreements, when we have these disagreements, just like in our text today, it can get out of hand so very quickly. The text put the issue out front in verse number 36. The Bible said they agreed on this one thing. It said, "Let us go again." So they both apparently agreed that that was a good idea. So the work was ready for them to do. But somewhere down the line, through the formulation of the plan, somebody didn't want somebody to go. The text says, "Let us go again." They were together until one wanted this person and the other one didn't. Most of the issues that the church can be worked out when we work together. Notice when proper encouragement is offered, all fit together, especially when God is in the picture. Do you remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 around verse number 6? He said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." In verse number 9, he says, "For we are laborers," how? "Together with God." We ain't running the show by ourselves. We've got to learn to encourage. And Paul did the encouragement right there. He said, "I have planted, but Apollos did the watering, but God giveth the increase." Now that tells me one thing right there. He knew where God was coming from. He knew that he needed to work together with Apollos. Most churches don't fall out over major matters. It's mostly the minor matters. Things that are not even worth a disagreement in the first place. Things like somebody want the bulletin to be on yellow paper instead of white paper. So you know how you solve this problem? You put the cover in yellow and put the pages inside in white. And then everybody ought to be satisfied. So we have to become workers together for the Lord. We have to work together and let the Lord shine through it all. Most church folk don't fall out saying to one another, "I don't think the Bible is right." For the majority know and accept God's Word. The little things are the one that causes the big turmoil. Before we can get to heaven, we must get along down here. And if we can't get along down here, oh, I can see somebody saying, "Well, I'm going to be much better when I get up there." Well, you ain't going up there if you can't get along down here. You've got to get along with me. Because somebody stated it this morning. How can you say you love your God whom you've never seen and you hate your brother? You've got to love your brethren. So when the church folk disagree, we've got to compromise. We've got to work together. We've got to let God be the leader in the whole picture and be the whole picture. Remember after Abram and Lot in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8 where he said to Lot, "You go to the left and I'll go to the right. But if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left." In other words, I'll compromise. Whatever you want, I'll let you have it and I'll be satisfied with the other way. Now I know that sometimes church folk are going to disagree. There's nothing wrong with a disagreement. But then, do you remember in Amos chapter 3 where the Bible said, "How can two get along lest they agree together?" We've got to, at some point, compromise and come to an agreement. The church will always belong to God. When Lot said, I'll go to the left if you go to the right, or I'll go to the right if you go to the left, they parted through compromise. So if the church always belonged to God, we must do the work He has told us to do and not the work we want to do. If I cause the rift with my church brethren just because I think I'm always right, we need to pull out the Word of God and go back to it. And there's nothing wrong with opening your Bible when you get into a disagreement. When you open your Bible, you've got the referee already. Because God is never going to be wrong. I don't care how right you are, God is not going to be wrong. So there's nothing wrong with God's people having these differences, as long as they don't take the Lord's word in vain and don't allow Satan to take charge. Oh, you know, Satan can get in the church too. When the doors opened this morning, he marched right in. Oh, you're not going to see him sitting there because you don't know who he is. But he's in here. But if we act like church folk and not like uncivilized folk, he can't prevail. So when you think about it, when you look at this matter as a whole, when the church folk disagree, when God's servants disagree, we've got to come together as God's servant, not together as a neighborhood, as hood people, I should say. I've got to learn to say, you know, I could have been wrong. You know, it's not easy for some folk to say, I could have been wrong. I could have been wrong, and maybe you could have been right. But at the same time, we've got to once again have that Word of God to back us up. To back up the one who was right and to show the one who was wrong that he wasn't wrong. God's Word will never fail us. The same God that we serve together is the same God who we serve in spirit and truth, and we've got to learn to walk worthy of the vocation wherein which we are called. We are called the Christian. We are called Christian, and we've got to learn to serve that vocation well. We've got to learn to be the right kind of Christian. You can't call yourself a Christian and not serve God in spirit and in truth. You can call yourself that, but that's not what you are. So as I look at these two brethren, as I bring this message to a close, as I look at these two brethren, I think about some church folks sometimes. I think about how some of them like to act from time to time. Sometimes it's hard to tell the church folk from the hood folk. Sometimes it's hard to understand how could he say that. If he's a church member, how could he act like that if he's a church member? Well, maybe the truth of the matter is he's not a church member. He said he's a church member, but he doesn't act like a church member. He claims to be a Christian, but he doesn't talk like a Christian. He claims to be a Christian, but I saw him down at Joe's bar last night. Well, what were you doing in Joe's bar? Well, I was just passing by and I saw him coming out. Well, how do you know what he was doing when he went in there? Maybe he doesn't have a cell phone and he needed to find a telephone. You can't judge somebody because you don't know what's going on with them. That's what leads to disagreements. You come back and you tell the whole church, I saw him coming out of the bar. But yet, I don't know why he was coming out of there. I just saw him coming out. I knew something wasn't right about him. But then I tell you something. When church folk disagree, sometimes we have a mess on our hands. Sometimes when church folk disagree, they don't know how to come together. See, I prefer that we as Christian folk learn what the will of God is before we get into those situations. Because once we're in them, If you don't know the Word of God, you're subject to become just like that other person. That's why Paul and Barnabas left in contention with strife between them. That's why they went each a different direction. But I tell you, church, if you're going to be a member of the Lord's body, you've got to be a member of the Lord's body. If you are to be a member of the Lord's body, there are some things you must do. You've got to learn to accept His will for your life. See, once you become a member of the Lord's body, your body is God's body. Your body is God's body anyway. It's the holy temple. But once you accept the will of God, you're turning over your life and your body to Him. And you've got to be very careful. For some folk don't know how to treat the body. Some folk don't know how to treat not only themselves, but they don't know how to treat one another. That's where the church comes in. We teach folk stuff. We'll teach you how to be a Christian. We'll teach you what thus saith the Lord. We'll give you instructions on getting to heaven. That's what the Bible does. So how do I become a member of this? How do I get into Christ? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And yes, Brother Jackson, we'll baptize you today. That means that I've got to bring myself away from the streets now. That means I've got to let the nightlife, the Saturday nightlife go. I've got to get into bed on Saturday night so I don't come in here with bloodshot eyes on Sunday morning. Now, I know somebody might be tired at any time. But if you're hanging out in the streets on Saturday night, you're not going to be doing that much hanging with God on Sunday morning. So you got to remember that God is always there for us, but are we always there for Him? Let us think on these things. Now, what if I did that long time ago, preacher, but I just some kind of way I got kind of lost. I took up with the wrong folk and I just can't seem to get back on track. Well, you go to God and spill your heart out to God. Let Him know everything. And then come before the church. Ask the church to pray that you may get strength to grow stronger. And the church will pray for you. But don't ask them to pray for you in your wrongness. You just come forward. And I like to caution people every now and then. Coming forward, you don't need to be ashamed. Because that's your soul that you're talking about. Not my soul. Because I've already told you I'm not going to be bothered with your soul when it comes my turn. I'm going to be busy already. So with that, church, if there's anyone who desires to come close to God, come closer to God this morning, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
What?